So the idea, you know, what caught my attention about the title of this conference was, you know, to be a missionary in your daily life.
Det som fångade uppmärksamheten min I förbindelse med den konferensen, det var att vara missionär I ditt dagliga liv.
And that really caught my attention because that's actually the goal of being a Christian.
Det är ju grunden till att jag fångade uppmärksamheten är det är huvudmålet med att vara en kristen.
Because you might look at me and think, okay, that's a strange Latino guy who comes to speak in our church and then he goes back to crazy land to do weird stuff.
Och det är ju rart att det kommer en främmande kar hit ifrån ett sprött land och så undervisar han ett eller annat och så reser han igen.
But I have always been just a normal guy.
Men jag har alltid bara varit en normal fyr.
Just if you don't ask my wife. Just if you don't ask
ja,
my wife.
Så länge du inte spör kona mig.
And you know, the idea is that we all should be missionaries.
Idén är att vi alla ska vara missionärer.
There was this one time I remember I was in Sao Paulo.
Men det var en gång jag var I Sao Paulo.
And we had like 10 hours free.
Vi hade 10 timmar fri.
Between one plane and the next to go back to Europe.
Mellan två fly vi skulle tillbaka till Europa.
So what shall we do?
Så vad ska vi göra för nå?
Let's go to the main square.
Låt oss gå till huvudgatan.
And let's scream something about Jesus.
Och så kan vi ropa nå om Jesus.
In South America they don't put you in prison for that.
I Sydamerika så vill sätta dig I fängsel hvis du gör det.
So we just went and start preaching and many people gathered.
Och vi började att förkynna och väldigt många människor kom.
And you know in Brazil witchcraft is very very alive, so you know crazy things happen.
Och I Brasil så är häxekraft är väldigt verklig, så spännande ting kan ske.
So after a couple of hours we moved to the beach that was nearby and we started baptizing people.
Så efter ett par timmar så gick vi ner till stranden som var rätt vid sidan och så började vi döpa människor.
So some of us were baptizing and others were preaching and then we were taking turns.
Så någon av oss döpte och någon stod och förkynte och så bytte vi på.
And it was amazing. A lot of stuff happened that day.
Det var fantastiskt. Det var massor som skedde den dagen.
And then a guy comes to me.
Och så kommer en fyr bort till mig.
And he says, "Hey Fabian, you know what? I really have a burden in my heart."
Så kommer han. Vet du vad Fabian? Jag har verkligen en börda I hjärtat mitt.
So what is it? What do you need?
Vad är det? Vad tränger du?
So he says, "You know, I really want to be a missionary."
Jag önskar verkligen att vara missionär.
But I'm too young. I'm 19.
Men jag är alltför ung. Jag är bara 19.
And my family wants me to first finish my studies in the university.
Men familjen min, de vill att jag först ska fullföra utbildningen på universitetet.
And then I have to go to Bible school.
Och så måste jag gå på bibelskola.
And then I have to be trained and you know it's going to take too long. I want to be a missionary.
Och så måste jag bli tränad och så det här tar allt för lång tid. Jag vill bli missionär.
So I was just thinking.
Så jag tänkte.
And I tell him, "You know what?
Vet du vad?
You are already a missionary for a long time."
Du har redan varit missionär länge.
So what do you mean?
Vad menar du?
Nobody has ordained me.
Ingen har ordinerat mig.
It says yes, they have.
Jo, det har de.
Jesus has ordained you.
Jesus har insatt dig.
I told them, "Look around this beach."
Se runt där på stranden här.
Look at all these naked ladies who are laying down here.
Se på alla de halvnakten eller nakna damerna som ligger här.
Who is going to preach them?
Vem ska förkynna till dig?
Who's going to testify to these people?
Vem ska vittna för dessa?
So not me.
Det är inte mig.
I'm leaving in a couple of hours.
Jag förlater landet om ett par timmar.
This is your mission.
Detta är ditt missionsfält.
If you as a disciple of Jesus have no mission, you're just not a disciple of Jesus.
Hvis du som en disipel inte har en disipel, så är du inte en disipel av Jesus.
Is that simple?
Så enkelt är det.
We all have given a mission.
Vi är alla en del av ett uppdrag.
And of course, you know, if you have an organization or an institution like a congregation or something like that, of course, it's different.
Och hvis du har en menighet, ett kyrkesamfund eller något sånt, så är det ju lite annorlunda.
Because there's only one stage, and not anyone can stand on the stage.
För det är bara en scen, och det är bara en som kan stå på scenen.
But everybody has a living room.
Men alla sammen har en stue.
And everybody has friends.
Och alla har vänner.
And everybody has colleagues.
Och alla har kollegor.
So you can make disciples there.
Så du kan göra discipler där.
Since the beginning you have been given a mission.
Så helt I begynnelsen så har du fått ett uppdrag.
And maybe you're learning how to carry out that mission.
Kanske du tränger att lära hur du ska utföra uppdraget.
Or maybe it's time for you to carry out the mission.
Eller når det tid til å utføre oppdraget.
But I told this guy if it's burning in your heart to take action now.
Men jeg sa til denne fyren at hvis det brenner I hjertet ditt at du skal handle nå.
Just go do it.
Så bare begynn å gjøre det.
Don't wait for anyone to give you a title.
Bare ikke vent på at noen skal gi deg en titel eller noe sånt, bare begynn.
Just go do it.
Bare begynn med det.
Another good friend of mine, he's South African.
En annan god vän av mig, han är sydafrikaner.
And he goes to a Baptist church in my city.
Han går till en baptistmenighet I byn där vi bor.
And he told me, "Fabian, you know, I have all these amazing revelations of Christ that I want to share with the church because I know that they will be so much built up by this teaching.
Jeg har så mye, jeg har sånn relasjon og fellesskap med Gud, så jeg har lyst til å dele med disse folka, for jeg tror de vil bli så oppmuntret av å høre på den undervisningen.
But I've told the pastor, and he told me to wait 6 months until the next course or seminar begins.
Og jeg sa til, fortalte det til pastor, men han sa til meg, du må vente I 6 måneder for det neste undervisning starter.
And I have to present the curricula to the elders so that they can approve it.
Og så må jeg levere en sånn en plan for dette her til de eldste rådet, sånn at de kan gå gjennom det.
And then we need to promote it online so people can subscribe.
Og så må de annonsere dette her online så folk kan melde seg på.
But it's burning in my heart.
Men det brenner I hjertet mitt.
This is so frustrating.
Det så frustrerende.
And I asked him, why do you need to do it from the pulpit?
Så jeg spurte, hvorfor I verden trenger du gjøre det fra talerstolen?
Discipleship does not happen from here.
Disippelgjøring, han kommer ikke herifra.
I am not discipling you right now.
Jeg disippelgjør ikke dere nå.
You can be inspired.
Du kan bli inspirert.
You can be equipped.
Du kan bli utrustet.
We can worship together.
Vi kan tilbe sammen.
We can have fellowship together.
Vi kan ha fellesskap sammen.
We can call the presence of God in this place.
Vi kan be om at Guds nærvær skal komme på den
plassen. Which is amazing.
Det fantastisk.
But discipleship is going to happen in the life of those people.
Men disippelgjøring, det det som handler, skjer I livet til disse menneskene.
So I told him, why don't you just invite these people that you think will benefit from your teaching?
Hvorfor tar du ikke heller også invitere de menneskene som du tror vil ha nytte og glede av undervisningen av dem?
Give them a cup of coffee in your house.
Gi dem en kopp kaffe I huset ditt.
And share what you know.
Og så del det du vet.
It doesn't need to be a church event.
Det trenger ikke være en kirkearrangement.
God gave you something to give to your brothers.
Gud har gitt deg noe som du kan gi til dine brødre.
You don't need to have a microphone.
Du trenger ikke ha en mikrofon.
Just invite them to your house and drink coffee with them.
Bare invitere dem til huset ditt og drikke kaffe sammen med dem.
You know, Christianity is actually so much more simple than we think it is.
Kristendom eller kristenliv så mye enklere enn det vi tror.
And like I said this morning, Christians are so good in wasting time.
Og som jeg sa tidligere, mange kristne så flinke til å kaste bort tida.
Spending their energy on things that Jesus didn't ask us to do.
Å bruke energien sin på ting som Jesus aldri ba oss om å gjøre.
Things that are good.
Ting som bra.
But that are not what he asked.
Men det ikke det han etterspurte.
So you need to prioritize. What is the first thing that Jesus is asking me to do?
Så vi må sette opp en prioriteringsliste. Hva det første tingene Jesus var som gjør?
And everything else should be pointing, aiming, strengthening that mission.
Og alt det andre vi gjør skal være med oss og hjelpe oss å peke I den retningen.
So I want to give you tonight a little bit of a combination of a bit of inspiration and a bit of extra practical ideas.
Så I kveld skal jeg gi deg litt inspirasjon og noen praktiske ideer.
You know, in history, we have tried a lot of things to do with the Church of Jesus.
Opp gjennom historien så har vi prøvd veldig mye forskjellig I Kristi kirke.
We have had a lot of state church.
Vi har hatt mange statskirker.
You know, when the church is kind of an empire.
Når menigheten eller kirka ble som et rike.
And when you do something that is out of the standards of the church, it's almost like religious terrorism.
Og når du gjør et eller annet som utenfor kirkens standard, så det omtrent som terrorisme.
You know, I was here listening about the Vikings. You know, convert or I cut your head off.
Jeg leste om vikingene. Enten konverterer du til kristendommen, eller så hogger jeg hodet av deg.
We have tried the communal church.
Vi har prøvd fellesskap menigheter.
Come to this church.
Kom til denne menigheten.
And you will be a nice guy.
Og du kommer til å bli en flott fyr.
We have tried the corporate church.
Vi har prøvd samarbeidsmenigheter.
You know that everything spins around the CEO.
Allt sammen handlar om ledaren.
The man of God.
Guds Herrens man.
And there's a hierarchy, very strict hierarchy.
Och det är väldigt tydlig hierarki.
And you need to climb on the ladder.
Och du må klättra upp på stegen.
We have tried lately the fun church.
Vi har prövat de glada menigheterna där det är massa grejer som sker.
Come and see how similar to the world we can be.
Kom och se hur nära upp till världen vi kan vara.
You know, we have tried so many different things.
Vi har prøvd så mye forskjellig.
And the motivations are good.
Og motivasjonen bra.
Sometimes not.
Noen ganger ikke fullt så bra.
But the question of all of this is not what is more effective.
Spørsmålet ikke hva mest effektivt.
The question is, what is the way Jesus said we should do it?
Spørsmålet på hvilken måte var det Jesus ba oss om å gjøre det?
Remember that yesterday Daniel was, or today was Daniel speaking about Jesus is a king.
I dag snakket Daniel om at Jesus konge.
And I was explaining you that he is the king.
Og jeg forklarte at hvorfor han konge.
And you know, it's easy to expect God to be the Lord over our finances and sickness.
Det är väldigt lätt att få Jesus att vara herre över ekonomin vår och sjukdomen vår.
But it's different when Jesus starts to ask you to pay a price.
Men det är nog helt annat när han börjar be dig om att betala en pris.
How many of us are really willing to give away something for Jesus?
Hur många av oss är verkligen villiga att ge något fra oss för Jesus?
You know, if you think of the 12 disciples of Jesus, 11 were murdered.
Når du tenker på disse 12 disiplene til Jesus, var det 11 av dem som ble drept for sin tro.
For their faith.
For troen.
And Jesus told him that that was going to happen.
Och Jesus sa att detta kommer till att ske.
Now imagine how many people are we tonight?
Hur många är vi här ikväll?
Let's say 100.
100 stycken kanske.
Let's say 120.
Låt oss säga 120.
That means that 110 of you are going to be murdered in the coming years.
Det betyder att 110 av er kommer att bli dräpt för tro i närtid.
That if we do this conference in 20 years, only 10 are going to be here.
Så om 20 år när vi antar den konferensen så är bara 20 där i livet.
That doesn't sound appealing. That doesn't sound commercial.
Men det är ju inte akkurat någon god reklam.
So the gospel must have had something in it that people were willing to die for.
Så evangeliet må ha något i sig som folk är villiga att dö för.
And of course I could tell you my own story how God brought me to places where I had to give up my career, my money, my house, my family even and everything in order to follow him.
Jag kan säkert fortalt min historia om hur Gud bad mig om att ge slip på karriär, på hus, på pengar, på allt sammen för att tjäna honom.
I remember that the last thing God asked for me.
Det sista Gud bad mig.
When I have given up everything that I had, literally my reputation, my friends, my church had kicked me out, and it was a drama.
När jag hade gett ifrån mig allt, jag hade menighet och vänner och allt sammen. My church, det var stor, ja, dramatisk.
My church was almost a sect. It was really, really controlling and dominating.
Menigheten min var omtrent som en sekt som hade verkligen kontrollerat oss.
And after we had lost everything,
efter vi hade mistat allt sammen.
And then there was this last little thing in my heart.
Så var det en lille sista lilla ting i hjärtat mitt.
That was my family.
Så var familjen min.
And it's a long story that I'm not going to share now, but at some point God sent me to a trip to the Middle East.
Men det är en lång historia, men Gud sände mig till Mellanöstern.
And many prophets for 6 months were telling me where I had to go, and everybody said the same.
Många profeter, de sa i över den sista tiden var jag skulle resa, och de sa det samma allesammen.
And 2 weeks before I left, God told me, if you go, you're never coming back.
Men 2 veckor före jag skulle resa så säger Gud till mig, "Vill du resa så kommer du inte tillbaka."
Do you still want to go?
Vill du framdeles resa?
And I had just read the book of the Heavenly Man. You know that book?
Och jag hade akkurat läst boken om den himmelske man.
Brother Yun, who's a guy who was tortured all his life for his faith.
Han som blev torturerad massa för sin tro.
And God said, "That's what I want for you."
Det, och så säger Gud till mig, "Det är det jag tänker för dig."
So it's a very creepy thing when God asks you, "Do you want to go away from your family and never come back? You have 2 weeks."
Så det är en ganska skummel tanke där, att det här är det Gud har för dig. Är du då villig att ta risker?
Because I couldn't even pray. You know, I said, "God, what do you want?" He said, "Yeah, well, what you want? I'm asking you."
För jag kunde inte be till Gud. Gud, vad vill du för något? Han hade allerede sagt vad jag ville. Han spurte mig vad jag ville göra.
And by then, my wife and me knew when he said that God is speaking, it's always clear.
Men både mig och kona vet att när Gud talar så är det alltid tydligt.
So we made the choice to do it.
Så vi valde att göra det.
And at that point we were in the middle of Spain traveling with an old camper.
Akkurat da så reiste vi rundt midt i Spania med en gammel bobil.
So I taught my wife how to drive back.
Så jeg fortalte kona mi hvordan hun skulle reise hjem igjen.
And I said goodbye for my kids.
Og jeg sa ha det til barna mine.
I had 4 kids at that time.
Jeg hadde 4 barn på den tiden.
Now there are 6.
Nå de 6.
I collect children.
Jeg samler på barn.
And it's crazy when you look at your son in the eyes. He was 6, the oldest. He didn't understand.
Det är helt sprött när du tänker på det, men sonen var äldste sonen var han var 6 år när du ser han där in i ögat.
And you say farewell.
Och säger farväl.
What do you say?
Vad säger du för nå?
It's extremely painful.
Det är otroligt smärtefullt.
And you know my heart was breaking in pieces.
Och mitt hjärta det gick och helt det var ju helt knust.
And we were weeping.
Och vi gråt.
Because I really thought I'm not coming back. This is it.
Jag trodde verkligen att jag inte kom till att komma tillbaka. Detta var det.
And I remember when I walked away from that place where we were parked.
Och jag husker när jag gick ifrån den platsen där vi hade parkerat bobilen.
And I lost sight from the house they were staying at.
Och när jag miste synen tillbaka från det huset där de bodde.
That in spite of the deep sadness and brokenness in my heart.
Och så hade jag en djup sorg och ja knust hjärta.
Came this incredible feeling of freedom.
Så kom den otroliga känslan av frihet.
Where I thought it doesn't matter what happens there.
För då tänkte jag det betyder ingenting vad som kommer att ske där framme.
Because I have nothing to lose.
För jag har ingenting att mista.
It's all gone.
Det har gått allerede.
My career.
Karriären.
My friends.
Vänner mina.
My reputation.
Rykte mitt.
My savings.
Sparpengarna.
My hobbies.
Hobbyerna mina.
And now even my family.
Selv familjen mina.
So Lord, bring it on.
Så Gud bara låt det stå till.
And amazing things happened in the journey.
Och otroliga ting skedde på den resan.
And that is the journey that is filmed in the movie. I don't know if you have seen it.
Och det är en del av det som har blivit filmat i den filmen The Life.
And of course I came back.
Och så följde så kom jag tillbaka.
And it was a test.
Och det var en test.
God needed to show me how much he's worthy.
Gud ville att han ville visa mig hur mycket han var värd.
And that was a little shake, you know, to realize, you know, it's like when Abraham had to offer Isaac.
Det är också som när Abraham var villig att offra Isak.
God knew what he would do.
Gud visste vad han ville göra.
But Abraham needed to know how much God is worthy.
Men Abraham trängt att veta hur mycket värdsatt eller hur han värdsatte Gud.
So the gospel is worth dying for.
Så evangeliet är värd att dö för.
But if you are not willing to die for it.
Men hvis du ikke er villig til å dø for det.
It means that there is something you have not understood.
Så betyr det at det er noe du ikke har skjønt ennå.
So let's try to make it clear.
Så la oss prøve å få dette klart.
The key for changing the world is discipleship.
Nøkkelen til å forandre verden, det er disippelgjøring.
It's not any of those other church models or Bible schools.
Det handler ikke om de andre form for kirkemodeller eller bibelskoler og så videre.
They can help or they can hinder.
De kan hjelpe eller de kan hindre.
But the answer is to make disciples.
Men svaret er å gjøre disipler.
One person at a time.
En person om gangen.
When you get involved in their lives.
Når du blir involvert i livet deres.
And you build a relationship with them.
Og du bygger en relasjon med dem.
On purpose, strategically.
Med en hensikt, strategisk.
Consciously.
Bevisst.
And then once you have stepped into their lives and you have a relationship with them.
Och nu har du efterhand kommit in i livet deras och fått en relation med dem.
Then there comes a commitment and a training.
Så kommer det en övergivelse och en träning.
The Lord Jesus is exactly how he worked.
Jesus visste hur han opererade.
When you read the Bible without paying attention, it just looks like he just comes floating from above the sand and he just says, "Peter, follow me."
När du läser Bibeln och historien så hörs det ut som Jesus bara svävde över backen och så bara Peter bara följ mig.
Matthew follow me.
Matteus bara följ mig.
And he had this aura and everybody just was floating behind him.
Och han hade den här auran och alla bara kom svävande in bakom.
But he was a very normal guy.
Men han var väl helt normal fyr.
He was the carpenter.
Han var en snickare.
And everybody knew him.
Och alla kände han.
Seven of his disciples were family members.
Syv av disciplerna hans var familjemedlemmar.
And he knew them before he called them.
Och han kände dem före han kallade dem.
And they knew him before he called them.
Och de kände han före han kallade dem.
He would teach from the boat of Peter.
Han undervisade från Peters sin båt.
Before he called Peter.
Før han kalte Peter.
So there was this relationship first.
Så de hadde en relasjon først.
And after they saw who he was and what he did.
Så etterpå så de hvem han var og hva han gjorde.
And there were hundreds of people behind Jesus. He chose only 12.
Og det var hundrevis av folk bak Jesus eller som fulgte ham, men han valgte bare 12.
And he focused on the 12.
Og han fokuserte på disse 12.
And upon those 12 he built his church.
Og utifra disse 12 så bygde han sin menighet.
You know that God could have created in one shot, boom, 5 billion people when he made the heavens and the earth.
När Gud skapade himmel och jord så kunde han skapat 5 miljoner människor med en gång.
He could have done it like he created the stars.
Han kunde gjort det på samma måte som han skapade stjärnorna.
Just in one day, wow.
Bara på en dag så wow.
All the trees in one day.
Eller träden så på en dag.
Or the fish in one day.
Eller fylla havet med fiskar på en dag.
But when he created man, he didn't do it like this. He created just a couple.
Men när han skapade människan så gjorde han inte på den måten, han skapade dem bara ett par.
Isn't that weird?
Är inte det rart?
And these were the only ones who were created in his image.
Det var bara disse två som var skapade i hans bilde.
And he gave them a task.
Och han gav dem ett uppdrag.
You multiply and fill the earth.
Dere ska multiplicera och fylla jorden.
Discipleship is exactly the same.
Disciplinering är akkurat detsamma.
God is sending you.
Gud sender dere.
And he needs you.
Och han trenger dig.
The normal guy or girl.
Den normala gutten eller jenta.
The most powerful disciples I have seen were the people that nobody thought could ever do anything special.
De mest kraftfulla kristna eller disciplinerna är de som ingen trodde kunde vara i stånd att göra det.
They were not microphone people.
De var inte mikrofonmänniskor.
They were not the technical people.
De var inte de tekniska typerna.
The people that have resurrected the dead have been people that I would never imagine they could even heal one leg.
De hade aldrig rest upp någon döde och hade aldrig trott att de kunde helbreda någon som helst.
Shy, insecure, low educated people.
Usäkra, generade med låg utbildning.
There is no limits of what God can do when you are truly surrendered.
Det är ingen begränsning av vad Gud kan göra hvis du verkligen övergett dig.
So God created just Adam and Eve and they had to fill the earth.
Gud skapade Adam och Eva och de fick uppdrag att fylla jorden.
And then God or Jesus called the 12 and he told them you go and multiply.
Och Jesus kallade disse 12 gå dere och multiplicera dere.
You know it is like a family tree.
Det är som ett släktsträd.
You know, do you have ever family parties when you come together with your grandparents and your cousins and your uncles?
Har dere av og til familieselskaper hvor onkler og tanter og besteforeldre kommer sammen?
It's amazing to see how many people can come out of two.
Det er utrolig å se hvor mange som kan komme ut av to.
Right?
Ikke sant?
Are there any proud grandmothers here?
Er det noen stolte bestemødre her?
Grandmas?
Bestemødre.
Look at that.
Ja.
There they are.
Der er de.
And it's impressive, you know, so many people just out of a couple.
Det er utrolig, så mange kommer ut av bare et par.
And every generation is younger.
Og alle generasjoner er yngre.
And they are different.
Og de er annerledes.
And they multiply. These people, the beginners, they just multiplied in many, many people.
Og disse gamle som starter, de bare multipliserer videre.
And what is beautiful is that all of these people share the same DNA.
Og det som er så kult at alle disse deler samme DNA.
They have the nose of the grandma and the eyes of the grandpa and the character of the aunt.
De har nesa til bestefar og øynene til bestemor og karakteren til onkel.
I have had the privilege to see that happening in our city.
Jeg har hatt gleden av å se dette her I byen vår.
In the beginning, I was just evangelizing and evangelizing and evangelizing. That's all I could do. Then when I hear the real gospel, I got so insecure that I didn't dare to say anything anymore. And like I told you, I was one of these street children of the kingdom. Nobody ever fathered me in the kingdom. So I was just experimenting.
Så jeg bare eksperimenterte.
Whatever. Nobody will die. Let's try it.
Uansett, ingen kommer til å dø av det, så la meg prøve.
I went on the street and I said, well, let's pray for people and let's see if they get healed.
Så jeg gikk ut på gata og la oss prøve, la meg be for syke og så se.
I had never done it before.
Jeg hadde aldri gjort det før.
I said, well, what can happen?
Hva kan skje?
So I tried it.
Så jeg prøvde.
I saw beautiful miracles.
Og jeg så fantastiske under.
But then I had no idea what I could say after that.
Men jeg hadde ingen idé om hva som skulle skje etterpå.
And people were like, wow, how did you do this?
Wow, hvordan gjorde du dette her?
I said, I don't know, but follow Jesus.
Jeg vet ikke, men følg Jesus.
And I ran away.
Så løp jeg.
I had no clue.
Jeg hadde ikke peiling.
But then I started looking at the Bible, not just like an obligation. I started looking, I needed to find answers. How do you do this, Lord?
Men så begynte jeg å lese Bibelen, ikke bare som en hendelse eller bok eller sånt, men for å studere hvordan i verden du gjorde dette her, Jesus.
And I made plenty of mistakes.
Og jeg gjorde massevis av feil.
The first people I baptized, it was totally wrong. I shouldn't even have put him in the water.
Første man døpte, det var totalt feil. Jeg skulle ikke engang putte han I vannet, vet du.
But I was taking steps.
Men jeg tok et skritt.
Finding out how I could serve Jesus better.
Fant ut hvordan jeg kunne tjene Jesus bedre.
I said, I want to see what you God did in the book of Acts. I want to see it today.
Jeg vil, Gud, jeg ønsker å se det du gjorde I Apostlenes gjerninger, det jeg ønsker å se I dag.
And in a couple of years, you know, you start learning stuff.
Og etter hvert så begynner du å lære ting.
Because God wants you to be capable more than you want it yourself.
For Gud vil at du skal være I stand til å gjøre dette her mye mer enn det du ønsker deg selv.
And after a couple of years, we had a group of people in our city.
Og etter et par år så hadde vi en gruppe mennesker I byen vår.
But then I started traveling to many countries and doing many things.
Men så begynte jeg også å reise rundt mange andre land og gjorde en del andre ting.
And after a year or so, I came back to my hometown.
Og etter et års tid så kom jeg tilbake til hjembyen min.
And I met with these disciples and their disciple. Well, they were not. Yeah, to the all these brothers and sisters.
Så kom jeg og møtte disse her ikke akkurat disiplene, men disse brødrene og søstrene som vi hadde.
And when I talked to the third, fourth generation of the new guys there.
Og når jeg snakket til både tredje og fjerde generasjon av disse kristne.
They didn't have the same DNA.
Så hadde de ikke samme DNA.
Some of them were living in sin.
Noen av de levde I synd.
And they didn't even care.
Og de brydde seg ikke.
Some of them were still demonized.
Noen av de hadde slet fremdeles med demoner.
Some of them have never read the Bible.
Noen av de hadde ikke lest Bibelen engang.
And I'm like, what?
Hva?
How did this happen?
Hvordan I verden skjedde dette?
So I asked, who baptized you?
Spurte, hvem var det som døpte dere?
Oh, that guy.
Ja, det var han.
And I go to him and say, what do you do?
Så gikk jeg til han og spurte, hva du har gjort?
No, I told him everything.
Jeg lærte deg alt.
But are you discipling them?
Men disipler du de?
Well, we drink coffee and we heal the sick.
Nei, vi drikker kaffe og så helbreder vi syke.
So I went to God, Lord, this is not what you wanted.
Så jeg gikk til Gud, det ikke dette her du ønsker.
And a whole process began in which God started to teach me how to catalyze this network and to clean them up and to give everybody a healthy DNA.
Så Gud begynte å vise meg hvordan jeg skulle rydde opp I nettverket, hvordan jeg skulle katalysere den sunne lære, og hvordan jeg skulle skape det felles DNA I nettverket.
And now it's beautiful.
Och detta har fungerat fantastiskt bra.
It's amazing. Everything was changed, everything was cleansed and the false brothers left and only the good ones remained and they are all now making their own disciples. It's beautiful.
Det har blivit otroligt bra. Det vi fick rydda upp I detta här. Någon de upprörska de förlåt oss och de bra folk har blivit igen och det har spridit sig och det är fantastiskt bra.
So this year we will appoint our first local leaders and then my wife and me are moving away to the next mission.
Så I löp av detta året här så kommer vi att utpeka de lokala nya eller lokala ledarna och så kommer jag och konat att flytta till ett nytt ställe.
And I was never in my entire life had the craziest dream to be able to do anything like that.
Och jag hade aldrig I min vildaste fantasi tänkt att jag skulle göra något som detta här.
But you just need to step up and you will see that God will use what you have.
Men vi tränger oss att trä ut och så se att Gud vi brukar det vi har.
Arendal will not change by you getting more teachings.
Arendal kommer inte att bli förändrad bara med att du får mer undervisning.
Which of course is good. I would love to teach you the whole week.
Och undervisningen är väldigt bra. Jag skulle önska kunna vara och undervisa hela veckan.
But if you don't do what you're learning is worthless.
Men hvis ikke du begynner å handle på det du har lært, så det verdiløst.
So it's better that you do what you know.
Så det bedre at du gjør det du vet.
Than waiting until you know everything before you do anything.
Enn at du venter til at du vet alt før du begynner å gjøre noe.
So all of these models were not the original idea that the Lord had.
Så ingen av disse her modellene her var den opprinnelige ideen til Gud.
That has been our attempts to help God.
Det har vært forsøk på å hjelpe Gud.
And God has been revealing things piece by piece, little by little.
Gud har åpenbart litt etter hvert.
You know, Luther came, let's baptize adults in their own faith. Oh no, sorry, not adults, but he said salvation is by faith.
När Luther kom, det är frälse över tron alene.
And the Catholics were persecuting Luther.
Och katolikerna, de förföljde Luther.
And then came the Anabaptists. No, we need to baptize adults for in their own faith.
Och så kom det som blev kallat för Anabaptister. Nej, vi måste döpa folk på deras egen tro.
And Luther persecuted the Anabaptists.
Och Luther, han förföljde Anabaptisterna.
And then came the Methodists.
Så kom metodisterna.
And they were persecuted by the other guys.
Och de blev förföljda av de andra.
And then the Pentecostals.
Och så kom pinsvännerna.
And they were rejected by the other guys.
Och de blev förkastade av de andra.
And God is trying to restore his church to the original model, but instead of getting together, we just make our own denominations.
Så Gud önskar genombrätta menigheten, men det blir bara konflikter mellan det.
And now we are here.
Och nu är vi här.
In the microphone church.
I mikrofonmenigheten.
As I told you, it's great. You don't need to change this.
Det är väldigt bra, du trenger ikke forandre det.
This doesn't have to change.
Dette her trenger ikke forandres.
Your understanding of your responsibility in it, that's what needs to change.
Men det som trengs å bli forandret, det din forståelse av ditt ansvar.
That is what has to change.
Det det som trenger forandres.
If you think that your highest task is to bring your friends to church, you are missing entirely the purpose of why Jesus saved you.
Hvis du tror at det høyeste kallet ditt er å få folk til å komme hit til menigheten, så det helt feil.
Imagine if your only way to preach the gospel will be using a microphone.
Hvis du tror at den eneste måten å forkynne evangeliet er å bruke en mikrofon.
That costs a lot of money.
Det koster utrolig mye penger.
Not the microphone only.
Ikke bare mikrofonen.
The building, the sound equipment, the chairs, the advertising, everything is a huge project.
Bygningen, lydutstyret, stolene, alt som trengs til, det et svært prosjekt.
Now imagine if your field of action was not that one.
Tenk deg at ditt område ikke var den der.
Because for that you need to study, you need to prepare, you know.
För du må studera och du må förbereda dig.
Imagine that your field of action was this.
Tänk, hvis dette var ditt område.
Just your living room.
Bara stua där hemma.
Your kitchen.
Köket ditt.
That in your house you could baptize people.
Hjemme I huset så kan du døpe mennesker.
That in your living room you can teach them.
I stua ditt så kan du undervise dem.
That you can evangelize in your job.
Du kan evangelisere på jobben din.
Imagine the power that would have.
Se för dig den kraften det vill ha.
You wouldn't need to invest anything.
Du trenger ikke investere noen ting.
You wouldn't need to ask permission for anything.
Du trenger ikke å be om tillatelse til noe som helst.
You have a space to make a lot of mistakes.
Du har plass til å gjøre massevis av feil.
Your wife will be angry with you.
Og kona di vil bli sint på deg.
And you will learn.
Men så vil du lære.
And you will change people's lives.
Og du vil forandre menneskers liv.
And that is always going to multiply.
Og det vil alltid multipliseres.
Everything God creates has the potential to multiply.
Alt det Gud skaper har potensial til å bli multiplisert.
Plants, animals, humans.
Planter, dyr, mennesker.
Everything has this property that there is something in it that can make a copy of itself.
Allt sammen har noe I seg som I stand til å lage en kopi av seg selv.
So if God is living in you, you have potential to multiply.
Så hvis Gud leder deg, så har det potensial til å bli multiplisert.
So I wanted to share with you something very basic of this beautiful text.
Så jeg vil bare dele noe av det fantastiske med denne teksten.
This is the Great Commission.
Detta är missionsbefallningen.
How was that in Norwegian? Uppdraget or so, something like that?
Uppdraget, missionsbefallningen.
Yeah, that one. So, he's can teaching me
that?
Norwegian.
Can you say that?
You know, look at this. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth.
Jesus kommer till dig och säger att all makt i himmel och på jord är gitt till mig.
He's king.
Han är konge.
That's what he's saying. He's saying all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth.
Han säger all makt i himmel och på jord är gitt till mig.
Därför. Because I have the authority.
För det jag har den auktoriteten.
Not because you are perfect.
Inte för att du är perfekt.
Not because your whole life is beautiful.
Inte för att livet ditt är så fantastiskt.
Not because you are healthy.
Inte för att du är så sund och frisk.
Not because you went to Bible seminar.
Inte för att du gick på bibelskola.
But because he has all the authority on heaven and earth.
Men för att han har all makt i himmel och
på jord. Therefore go.
Därför ska du gå.
And make disciples of all nations.
Och göra discipler i alla nationer.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Och döper dem i Faderns, Sonens och den Helige Andes namn.
And teaching them to observe all things whatever I commanded you.
Och lära dem allt det jag har befallt er.
And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world.
Och jag ska vara med er hela inte världens ände.
Now look at this word.
Vad säger på dessa ord?
He says go.
Han säger gå.
So easy, right?
Så lätt.
And just the only thing that many of us don't do.
Men allikevel så är det väldigt få gör.
Some of us go.
Någon av oss går.
And we are nice people.
Men vi är hyggliga människor.
We make tea for the neighbor lady.
Vi lagar te till nabokonan.
We cut the grass of or no here you shove the snow.
Här inte klippt men här mockar du snö från nabon.
But he said don't go and be a nice guy. He said go and make disciples.
Han säger inte det bara gå och så vara en hygglig fyr, men gå och gör disciplar.
So where do you make disciples?
Så var är du gör disciplar?
Where you are?
Där du är.
Or where they are?
Eller var de är.
You need to step into their lives.
Du må gå in i deras liv.
You need to understand how they live.
Du må förstå hurdan de lever.
When I was in Cuba, I wanted to sleep in the house of the people.
När jag var i Kuba så ville jag bo i samma hus samman med människorna.
Because in Latin America, the man of God is a really important guy.
I Latin America, så är sådan här Guds man är en väldigt viktig person.
But I like to show up preaching with sandals and shorts.
Men jag önskar att komma och förkynna i sandaler och shorts.
And the pastor was with a big suit.
Och pastorn han brukar sort dress.
I said, I'm sorry, but this is who I am.
Beklagar, men det är sådan jag.
This is just me.
Det är sådan jag.
I was wearing this the whole day. Why should I be special?
Jag brukar detta hela dagen, så varför jag vänner ska klämma upp i dress och vara något annorlunda?
And they want to put you in a nice house.
Och de önskar putta dig in i ett flott hus.
Said no, let me sleep in the normal place.
Nej, låt mig hellre sova på ett vanligt ställe.
How can I tell those people go make disciples if I don't understand how they live?
Vad som jag vänner kan jag få säga till dig att de ska gå ut och göra discipler, visst jag vet hur de bor.
So I stayed in the house of a poor family.
Så jag bodde i huset en fattig familj.
With holes on the walls.
Med hull i väggarna.
And cats were coming in the house through the walls.
Katter kom in i huset genom dessa hull.
It was full of mosquitoes.
Och fullt av mygg.
And they had no food.
Och de hade ingen mat.
And you know the toilet was beyond description.
Toaletten det var helt obeskrivlig.
But if you don't live like them, how can you teach them what to do?
Men hvis du ikke lever sånn som de i vorden i verden, kan du forklare eller fortelle hvordan de skal leve?
You have to go.
Du må gå.
And then you make disciples.
Og så gjør du disipler.
And then there are these other two commandments.
Det er bare disse to oppdragene eller befalingene.
There are four verbs in this text.
Det er fire ord i denne teksten.
Which one of these four is the most important?
Vilka av dessa fyra ord här är det viktigaste?
And which are the ones that are explaining that important commandment?
Och vilka av dessa fyra är det som förklarar det viktiga budskapet?
Think about it.
Tänk på det.
Any idea?
Någon förslag?
Tell me. Yes.
Är det att göra discipler?
He says you make disciples.
Står och gör discipler.
By going, baptizing and teaching.
Ved å gå og døpe og lære.
There you have it.
Så har du det.
As easy as that.
Så lett er det.
So to put it more practical.
Så gjør det litt enda litt mer praktisk.
In order to make disciples, first you have to be a disciple.
For å gjøre disipler, så må du først være en disippel.
I spoke about this morning.
Og jeg snakket om dette her I dag tidlig.
You need to be born in the kingdom of God.
Du må være født inn I Guds rike.
And you need to walk and do what Jesus did.
Og du må vandre og gjøre det som Jesus gjorde.
And then you need to go.
Og da så trenger du å gå.
It means that you need to choose the right person or the right group of people.
Det betyr at du trenger å velge det rette person eller rette folket.
When Jesus said go to all the nations, the word he used was the word ethnias. Go to all the ethnias.
Når Jesus sa gå ut I all verden, så står det etnisitet på gresk.
Speaking about people groups.
Det snakker om menneskegrupper.
If you go to the Middle East or South America, people work a lot with their families.
Hvis de går til Midtøsten eller Sør-Amerika, så har de en veldig familieidentitet.
In Israel, in Jordan, they work with tribes.
I Israel och Jordan där har de stammar.
You have the tribe, the clan, the family and the person.
Du har stammen, du har familjen, du har person.
But in Norway you don't have that.
Men I Norge så har vi ikke det.
In the Netherlands we don't have that.
I Nederländerna så har vi ikke det.
People are very individualistic. They live their own life alone.
Folk är väldigt individualister, de lever sina självständiga liv.
So when you go to a family and you reach the son, he's not going to help you to reach his dad because they have almost no relationship with each other.
Så hvis du kommer inn I en familie og så når du sønnen I familien, så betyr ikke det at han vil nå de andre, for de har så lite relasjon.
But their relationship is their friends, their, you know, the skaters or the gangsters or, you know, the immigrants.
Så relasjonen eller hans gjeng, det skaterne eller gangsterne eller den innvandrergruppa som han tilhører.
The refugees.
Flyktningene.
The university guys.
Universitetsstudentene.
The business people.
Forretningsfolka.
You know, those are people groups that they move together, they work together, they think the same way.
Det de folkegruppene som de bor sammen med og som de tenker på, eller som de handler sammen med og tenker på samme måte.
Somebody took the time to check around one church how many people groups were around their church.
Noen tok tida og så sjekket hvor mange folkegrupper var som var rundt menigheten.
They found 180 different people groups in the neighborhood of their church.
Det var 180 forskjellige etniske grupper rundt menigheten.
So if you think in this way, you can just find around your life a lot of different groups of people that they work and live and move together.
Så hvis du tenker på denne måten, så vil du se at det veldig mange forskjellige mennesker som lever og bor og tenker på forskjellige måter.
And you need to make a choice. To who am I going to go?
Og så må du gjøre et valg. Hvem det jeg vil nå?
We started this afternoon. You made you make a map of people, you know, the possible people that you could disciple.
Tidligere I dag så startet vi med at du skrev ned noen navn på folk som du kunne, som Gud ga deg, som du kunne begynne å evangelisere for.
And then he said baptize them.
Og så sier han, og døp de.
Now that's a weird stuff.
Det litt rart.
How, if you baptize someone, it means that the person has understood the right message.
Hvis du døper noen, så betyr det at de har forstått det rette budskapet.
In the Middle East, baptism is something that is very known. It's not only for Christians, it's just cultural.
I Midtøsten så det å døpe, det er noen kulturelle greier.
And it always means that you are cutting off with everything you did until that day and you can never turn back anymore.
Det betyr at du har stengt døra, du har kuttet av alt det du har gjort tidligere, du kan ikke gå tilbake.
In the Old Testament, when a Gentile wanted to become a Jew, he needed to be baptized.
I Gamle Testamentet, når en hedning skulle bli en jøde, så måtte han bli døpt.
And after that, there was no way back anymore.
Og etter det så var det ingen vei tilbake.
He was nationalized Israeli.
Han ble en etnisk israeler.
Until today, many Muslims, when they convert to Christianism, they get persecuted.
Og I dag så det sånn at når mange muslimer, når de blir døpt, så opplever de forfølgelse.
But when they get baptized, they get murdered.
Men ja, når du blir frelst, så blir du forfulgt, men når du blir døpt, så blir du drept.
Because the family knows after they get baptized, there's never a way back to Islam. It's finished.
For familien vet at når de har døpt seg, så det ingen vei tilbake til Islam. Da de ferdig.
So like I told you today, you need to know what you're going to say.
Så som jeg sa før I dag, du må vite hva du skal fortelle.
And then you need to teach.
Og så trenger du å undervise.
But you don't need to teach them what Jesus said.
Du trenger ikke å undervise hva Jesus sa.
Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I commanded you.
Jesus sa, lær dem å holde alt jeg har befalt dere.
And that's why discipleship cannot happen in a class setting.
Det derfor at disiplgjøring ikke kan skje I en klasseromsituasjon.
How can I teach, for example, the last group that we... Oh, no, it's not the last one. Some disciples that we're making...
Noen disipler som vi holder på med å jobbe med.
Our relationship started by teaching them how to be parents.
Når vi startet med å undervise dem hvordan de skal være foreldre.
And we just invited them to eat.
Så inviterte de hjem til oss og spise sammen med dem.
And they had only one daughter.
Og de har bare en datter.
And after eating, they asked us, how come that we are so much more stressed with one child than you are stressed with five?
Så når vi var ferdig med å spise, så det, hvorfor I all verden, hvordan kan det ha seg at dere vi mye mer stresset med bare ett barn enn dere med fem?
So we started sharing with them principles, biblical principles of raising children.
Så vi begynte å undervise for det bibelske prinsippet med hvordan oppdra barn.
And they put it into practice, and 1 week later they came with more questions.
Så begynte de også å praktisere dette her. Så en uke senere så kom de med nye spørsmål.
And they said, hey, we did it. It works great, but what about this now?
Ja, vi gjorde det sånn som du sa, og det fungerte kjempebra. Men hva med dette nå?
And just from that topic, we started moving towards discipleship.
Og utifra det tema så startet vi videre med disiplinering.
Because naturally they saw, okay, these guys are farther than us.
For de så det at disse her folket her, de har kommet lenger enn oss.
We can learn from them.
Vi kan lære fra dem.
And I saw that they were obeying, they were putting things to practice.
Och jag såg att de adlade och de satte ting ut i handlingar det vi undervisade.
So we jumped from raising children to marriage and to many different topics.
Så vi tog det vidare ifrån det uppdra barn till hur man är i äktenskap och många olika andra
ting. And after a couple of months I told him, "Hey, would you like us to better really take this seriously and I can teach you everything I know?"
Och efter en stund så tog vi folkens, ska vi ta det här seriöst eller är det villigt att vi tar det seriöst och jag kan undervisa dig allt det jag vet?
So that you can be sent and do it yourself.
Så att jag kan bli sent och göra det här själv.
And they said yes.
Och så sa de ja.
And now that I'm here, they are taking care of the new groups.
Och när jag är här så tar de ansvar för de nya grupperna.
And they are doing a great job.
Och de gör en fantastisk jobb.
They are becoming stronger than me.
Och de börjar bli starkare än mig.
Which is amazing.
Som är otroligt.
You know, it's like having a child. You don't get jealous when your son has a better career than you.
Det är också som du har en son. Du blir inte missunnelig. Jag syns det är dumt när din son får en bättre karriär än dig.
You put a big picture of your son in your living room with his title.
Du tar heller hänga upp ett stort bild av sonen din med titel och sån i hemmestua.
So, you know, discipleship has to do with obedience more than with knowledge.
Så disciplinering handlar mer om lydighet än kunskap.
We are so many years filling our head with a lot of inspiration and motivational speeches.
Vi har så många år bakom oss med att fylla huvudet med undervisning och inspiration.
But we need to just go and do it.
Men vi tränger bara börja så göra det.
So, after somebody has learned to obey, then they need to be sent.
Så efter de har lärt att adlyda eller att följa, så tränger de att sändas.
Because you can say, oh no, but the miracles were for those days.
Men någon säger, nej, mirakel och sånt, det var för de gamla tiderna.
Oh no, Jesus said that to his disciples. It's for the 12, it's not for me.
Nej, han sa det för de 12 disciplerna sina, men det handlar inte för mig.
But Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I commanded you.
Men Jesus sa, lär dig att hålla allt det jag har befallt dere.
So everything Jesus commanded the disciples is what he's commanding you.
Så allt det han har befallt sina discipler, det har han också befallt dig.
Simple mathematics.
Så enkel matematik.
You are sent.
Du är sent.
God expects that of you.
Gud förväntar det av dig.
How many of you know that God is good?
Hur många av er vet att Gud är god?
How many of you know that God loves you?
Hur många av er vet att Gud älskar dig?
Now, can God say the same about you?
Kan Gud säga det samma till dig?
That you are good.
Att du är god.
And that you love him.
Att du älskar han.
And that you will go.
Att du vill gå.
That you care.
Att du bryr dig.
That you want to carry out that mission.
Att du vill ta evangeliet ut.
And it can take 1,000 shapes.
Och det kan ge sig utslag på 1,000 olika måter.
You know, sometimes you have to disciple a wife whose husband doesn't believe in Jesus and is giving her a hard time.
Av och till så må vi undervisa en kone som har en man som inte är frälst och gör det väldigt vanskligt för henne.
And the Bible says the wives that are married with an unbeliever should win them over without words.
Och Bibeln säger att de kone som tror ska vinna äktemannen sin utan ord.
And you know, ladies, for you especially,
damer,
to not speak is difficult.
Och inte tala, det är vanskligt för dig.
To be quiet is hard, right?
Och vara stilla, det kan vara vanskligt.
We are good at being quiet. The men.
We are
good at being quiet.
Ja, vi är väldigt flinka att vara stilla.
I come home from this journey to talk to my wife. How was it?
No, jag kommer tillbaka från den här turen och kona frågar, "Hur var det?"
Good.
Good. Det var bra.
But if I call her and say, "How was dinner?"
Men vi ser ingen hos oss var middagen.
She can talk for one hour just telling me how was dinner.
Så kan hon prata en hel timme och fortälla oss var med den middagen.
How she did shopping, how she cooked it, what the kids say, where who sit it where and
och sen hur hon handlade, hur hon lagde det, vad ungarna sa för nå, hur de spiste var ja och så vidare.
You know, but a woman that is married to an unbeliever, the first thing they do is they preach.
En kvinna som är gift med en vantro eller en som inte tror, hon bara börjar att förkynna.
And they give them videos and they invite brothers to the house to pray and they're reading the Bible very loudly.
De ger de filmer så de kan se på, de inviterar andra frälste till huset och de läser Bibeln väldigt högt.
And God says, shh.
Men Gud säger, shh.
Let me work.
La mig vara.
He's a man.
Han är en man.
He's not going to listen to you.
Han kommer inte att höra på dig.
Because he has this little thing called ego.
För han har den lilla tingen som kallas för ego.
And how, you know, when I disciple a lady like that, I cannot tell her, go to the streets and cast out demons. It's not for her.
Og når jeg underviser en sånn kone som har en ufrelst mann, så kan ikke jeg si til å gå ut på gata og forkynne, for det ikke for henne.
Be a wife, be a mother.
Vær en kone, vær en mor.
Be better than before, be prettier than before, be sweeter than before.
Vær bedre enn det du var før, vær vakrere enn det du var før, vær snillere enn det du var før.
And shut up.
Og hold kjeft.
But you know, when I'm discipling a 22-year-old guy,
men når jeg disipler en 22 år gammel gutt,
they are full of testosterone.
De full av testosteron.
Come on, let's go. Let's go on the streets.
Kom igjen, la oss gå ut på gata.
Let's go to your friends.
La oss gå til vennene dine.
Let's put your school upside down.
Ta snu, sette skolen din på hodet.
Let's go for it.
Kom igjen, la oss gjøre det.
You know, it's different. The kingdom has different needs.
Det helt forskjellig. Guds rike har forskjellige behov.
But everybody has to find their spot.
Men alle sammen trenger å finne sitt sted.
Where is God sending you to?
Hvor sender Gud deg?
Maybe you will make only one disciple in your entire life.
Kanskje du vil gjøre bare én disippel I hele livet ditt.
Maybe you will make 10,000.
Kanskje du vil gjøre 10,000.
It doesn't matter the number.
Det betyr ingenting med antallet.
It matters that you do something with it.
Det handler om at du gjør noe med det.
You dare, you take the steps.
At du tør å ta et skritt.
You know what the Lord said in Luke 10?
Gud sier, Jesus sier Lukas 10.
This was the first time that he sent his disciples without him.
Det var første gang han sendte disiplene ut uten at han var med dem.
If you study his life, it's very interesting.
Hvis du studerer livet hans, det veldig interessant.
When he calls the 12, he showed them what he was doing.
Når han kalte de 12, så viste han dem hva han gjorde.
Later he let them help him.
Senere så lot han de hjelpe seg.
And you see them trying and failing.
Og du ser hvordan de prøvde og de feiler.
And then later he sends them.
Og senere så sendte han dem.
With other guys, 70 people even.
Og senere med 70 ja.
And they went without him.
Og de reiste ut uten han.
Because they were trained.
Fordi de var trent.
And look what he said.
Og se hva han sier.
He said the harvest is much but the laborers are few.
Høsten moden men det få arbeidere.
In other words, the laborers exist.
Du vet at arbeiderne eksisterer.
They are alive.
De lever.
They are equipped.
De utrustet.
They are strong.
De sterke.
But they are not on the field.
Men de ikke ute på åkeren.
They are somewhere else.
De et eller annet sted.
They are studying theology.
Kanskje de studerer teologi.
Whatever they are doing, but they are not on the harvest field.
Uansett hva de gjør, så de ikke der ute på åkeren.
And the solution to this, the Lord said,
og løsningen på dette, sier Gud,
pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Be til høstens Herre.
That he will send out the workers.
At han vil sende ut arbeiderne.
Not that he will raise them.
Ikke det at han vil oppdra dem.
Because they exist.
For de eksisterer.
That he will send them.
Men at han vil sende dem.
You know what is the Greek word for sending?
Vet du hva det greske ordet for sende er?
It's apostolos.
Det apostolos.
The Latin word.
Det latinske ordet.
Is missil.
Missil.
You are a rocket.
Du en rakett.
You know, God wants to send us.
Gud ønsker å sende oss.
Because guess what is going to happen when you say, Lord, please send the workers to the harvest, Lord.
For hva, gjett hva som skjer når du ber til Gud. Gud, vær så snill og send arbeiderne ut til høsten.
Who do you think he's going to send first?
Hvem tror du han kommer til å sende ut først?
Lord, here I am.
Gud, her jeg.
Send him.
Send han. Han.
He's going to send you.
Han kommer til å sende deg.
So this is another thing you can do this week.
Så det noe annet du kan gjøre denne uka.
This is Luke 10 verse 2.
Dette Lukas 10 vers 2.
Every day at 10 o'clock and 2 minutes.
Hver dag klokka 10, 2 minutter.
Pray to the Lord.
Be til Gud.
Just take 10 seconds. Say, Lord, I pray that you will send workers to the field today.
2 minutter over 10, hver dag så ber du Gud, send noen ut.
And then the Lord said, go.
Og så sier Gud, gå.
Again, this beautiful word that the Lord keeps saying every time. Go, please, go, go, get up and go.
Det han sier hver gang. Gå, kom igjen. Kom, reis deg opp og begynn å gå.
I send you out.
Jeg sender deg ut.
Not in.
Ikke inn.
Out.
Ut.
And he says, as lambs in the midst of wolves.
Jeg sender deg ut som lam blant ulver.
You know, from all the animals of the earth.
Av blant alle dyra på jorda.
If I could choose what animal to be.
Hvis jeg kunne velge et dyr jeg kunne være.
I would never choose a chicken or a lamb.
Jeg ville aldri valgt en kylling eller en lam.
They're so uncool animals.
Det så ukule dyr.
You know, a lamb has no claws, no teeth, no nothing.
Lam, det har liksom ingen kule tenner eller kraftige klør, det ingenting.
You know, a sheep is a very stupid animal.
En sau et veldig dumt dyr.
And a lamb is a baby sheep.
Og et lam, det en sånn baby sau.
So you cannot get more stupid than that.
Du kan ikke bli mer dum enn det.
And the Lord said, I send you like lambs.
Men Jesus sier, jeg sender deg som lam.
You know, Christianity is not cool.
Kristendom liksom ikke så kult.
You know, if you go to your friends and you tell them you're a Buddhist, a New Age, a Reiki healer, a Muslim, whatever, they'll be like, okay.
Så hvis du går til vennene dine og sier at du en buddhist, eller du en reiki healer, eller du en ja, muslim, eller hva som helst, så sier de bare, okay.
But if you tell them you're a follower of Jesus, you will get a lot of comments on that.
Men hvis du kommer og sier det at du en etterfølger av Jesus, så kommer du å få mange kommentarer
Because
på
det. Because it's not cool, it's not modern, it's not nice.
For det ikke kult, det ikke moderne, det liksom ikke noe spesielt stans.
And the Lord said, that's what I want.
Men Gud sier det, det akkurat det jeg vil.
You need to be less.
Han vil at du skal være mindre.
If you're going to try to evangelize this week on the streets, if you want to try that.
Hvis du har tenkt å evangelisere på gata denne uka.
Don't go with five people to evangelize an old lady.
Ikke kom fem stykker og evangelisere for en gammel dame.
It's better if you're just one or two. Two better. Two is a good number.
To bra.
And go to evangelize a group of Muslims.
Og gå og evangelisere for en gruppe muslimer.
Go into a mosque, see their service and try to talk to them.
Gå inn I en moské, vær med på eller gudstjenesten deres og prøve evangelisere.
And believe me, you will feel very little.
Jeg tror du vil føle deg veldig liten.
But that is exactly the setting that God needs so that he can be the lion.
Men det jo akkurat det samme som sånn at han kan være he can be
lion.
Det, at han kan være løver.
One time I was in Spain and I took some guys to the streets to show them how to evangelize.
En gang vi var I Spania og tok noen ut på gata for å vise dem hvordan vi skulle evangelisere.
Yep. And we meet a couple of Palestinian guys with all their clothes.
Vi møtte et par palestinske typer med hele munduren deres.
And their beards.
Med skjegget.
And they picked us by the hand and they said, come with us, come with us.
Og de tok oss I handen og kom, vær med oss.
And they took us into a little house.
De tok oss inn I et lite hus.
And they told us, take off your shoes.
Ta dere skoene.
And they opened the door and there were like 25 of those guys.
Og de åpnet døra og der var det 25 av den typen.
It was an underground mosque.
Det var en undergrunnsmoské.
From all places.
Av alle steder.
And we stayed there for 2 hours and they were preaching to us the Quran.
Og vi var der I 2 timer og de forkynte fra Koran I 2 timer for oss.
We were not allowed to speak. They sat us in the middle.
Vi fikk ikke lov til å si noen ting. De plasserte oss I midten.
And they were talking to us for 2 hours.
Og de underviste oss I 2 timer.
And when I tried to speak, they said, no, shut up, listen.
Og når vi prøvde å si noe, så sa de, nei, ti still.
And these poor young kids that were with me, they were traumatized.
And then they
gave us tea.
Så gav de oss te.
And they were looking at me with big eyes like, this is poison, we're going to die.
Vi kikket på dem med store øyne, liksom, dette gift, vi kommer til å dø.
I was waiting for them to bring the orange suits.
Jeg ventet på at de kom med disse her orange dressene de bruker.
But after they finished, they say, okay, now you may speak.
Men etter vi var ferdige så sier de, okay, nå kan dere fortelle.
And I preached the gospel in a mosque to 25 radical Palestinians.
Og jeg forkynte evangeliet I en moské til 25 radikale palestinere.
And they were so surprised to hear what Jesus was teaching.
Og de var så overrasket og forundret når de fikk høre hva Jesus faktisk underviste.
And it was an amazing experience.
Og det var en utrolig opplevelse.
And on my trip to Israel that I was telling you about when I left my children.
Og den turen til Israel som jeg fortalte om når jeg forlot barna mine.
I met one of them.
Så møtte jeg en av dem.
It was very special.
Väldigt speciellt.
But that is not going to happen if you are here.
Men det kommer inte att ske hvis du är här.
You need to go.
Du trenger du
like a lamb amongst wolves.
Som sauer eller lam bland ulvar.
You know the wolf. What does a wolf think when he sees a lamb?
Vad tror du en ulv tänker när han ser ett lam?
McDonald's. Right?
Ikke sant?
And he said, "Don't carry a purse, money bag, sandals. Don't greet anyone."
Ikke ta med väska eller pengepung eller sandaler eller si hej eller hils på någon på vägen.
Focus on your mission.
Fokusera på mission.
Don't get distracted.
Inte bli förstörd.
Into whatever city house you enter, first say peace to this house.
Oavsett när du kommer det första du gör när du kommer in I ett hus och så säger du fred var med detta huset.
You know the shalom, the typical Jewish greeting, peace to this house.
Shalom som en typisk judisk hilsen, det är fred.
And if a son of peace is truly there, your peace shall rest on it. But if not so, it will return to you.
Og hvis fredens menneske I dette byen, så skal freden være I huset, og hvis ikke, skal han komme tilbake på det.
And I spoke to you today about person of peace. You know, these people that are a key to a lot of people.
Og jeg fortalte om dere hvem denne fredens person før I dag. Det den personen som kan lede deg til mange andre mennesker.
And this is the best commandment in the Bible.
Og dette det beste befalingen I hele Bibelen.
Remain in the same house, eating and drinking.
Da skal du bli I dette huset og fortsette å være I dette huset og spise og drikke.
I love eating.
Jeg elsker å spise.
And you guys can eat. It's amazing. 10 o'clock yesterday in the night eating tacos.
Og dere kan også spise. Klokka 10 I går kveld, dere satt her og spiste taco. Fantastisk.
But it says, you know, remain in that house, eat and drink whatever they give you.
Men bli I dette huset, spis og drikk uansett hva de setter fram for dere.
Do not move from house to house.
Ikke flytt fra hus til hus.
When you find the key person.
Når du finner denne nøkkelpersonen.
Stop looking around.
Stopp, slutt med å lete videre.
And I want to give you a little example of this.
Jeg vil gi deg et lite eksempel av dette.
You know, most of us have our family, our friends that we really love.
Mange av oss bor sammen med familien som vi virkelig elsker.
And you want so badly that they will also repent and follow Jesus.
Och du vill så innerligt att de också ska omvända sig och följa Jesus.
Is there anyone that you know that you really love and you really want to follow Jesus and they are not doing it yet?
Do you have one? Du någon, har det någon som där verkligen önskar ska följa Jesus som ännu inte gör det?
Now imagine that this is my mom and my dad.
Se för dig att detta är min föräldrar, min far och mor.
We look like each other.
Vi liknar varandra.
You know, I love them so much.
Jag älskar dem så högt.
But they don't believe in Jesus, don't follow Jesus.
Men de följer inte Jesus.
And I'm every day trying to tell them, please, you know, you need to believe in Jesus. And I'm preaching and I'm insisting and I'm bombarding their Facebook with a lot of Bible verses.
Och varje eneste dag så prövar jag överbevisa dem, jag berättar dem och jag snackar med dem och jag bombarderar dem med Guds ord.
But this is my neighbor.
Men detta är nabon min.
A nice, friendly girl.
En trevlig jente.
And she's okay with me talking about Jesus.
Oh, for hun er det helt greit at jeg forteller om Jesus.
But she doesn't really care much about it either.
Hun bryr seg egentlig ikke så veldig mye om det heller, egentlig.
And okay, we know each other and we say hi once in a while.
Vi kjenner hverandre litt og vi sier hei sånn en gang imellom.
But she has her cousin.
Men hun har kusina si.
That comes once a month to visit her.
Som kommer en gang I morgen for å besøke henne.
And she has a terrible relationship with her father.
Hun har et forferdelig forhold til sin far.
And she doesn't feel loved and she feels broken.
Hun føler seg ikke elsket og helt knust.
And because of that rejection, she has jumped in the arms of many guys looking for love.
For, på grunn av den avvisningen så har hun løpt inn I armene til mange andre.
And now she's totally broken. She's totally broken and she's seeking for an answer to life.
Hun totalt knust og søker for et eller annet I livet.
And she's the person I should reach.
Hun den personen som jeg skulle nå.
She's ripe.
Hun moden.
Have you seen an apple when it's ripe?
Har du sett et modent eple?
You just stick it and it falls down.
Vi bare kommer så vidt bort I det så detter det.
But if it is not ripe, you have to pull it really hard and you break the tree.
Men hvis det ikke moden, så må du dra veldig hardt sånn at du omtrent holder på å knekke treet.
So here, mom and dad, they are not ripe.
Så foreldrene mine, de ikke modne.
And I'm pulling, and pulling, and pulling. Please, you know, follow Jesus.
Og jeg drar og drar og der. Kom igjen, der må følge Jesus.
And the only thing that I get is that I am vaccinating them for the gospel.
Så det eneste jeg oppnår, å vaccinere det for evangeliet.
See, if I have to be so annoying as you, I'm never going to follow you, Jesus.
Så hvis jeg kommer til å bli sånn som deg, hvis jeg blir en kristen, så kommer jeg aldri til å følge Jesus.
But because I love them in my flesh, I'm so focused on them.
Men siden jeg elsker dem så I det naturlige, I sjelen, så... så jeg så fokusert på dem.
That I don't see my neighbor.
At jeg ser ikke naboen min.
Who will not believe.
Som ikke vil tro.
But she will listen to me.
Men hun vil høre på meg.
And I can become a friend of her.
Og jeg kan bli en venn.
But through her I will reach her cousin.
Men gjennom hos vil jeg nå kusina.
I would never meet her cousin anywhere else.
Jeg vil aldri møte denne kusinen noen andre steder.
Because she lives in another neighborhood and I will never meet her on the street.
For hun bor I et annet nabolag og jeg kommer aldri til å møte på gata.
If I met her cousin on the street.
Hvis jeg møter kusinen hennes på gata.
And I invite her to come to my church.
Og jeg inviterer henne til å komme til menigheten.
She will never come.
Så vil hun aldri komme.
Because it's a way too high step.
For det alt for høyt skritt.
To come in this group where everybody's singing and everybody knows each other and you know it's all weird.
Til å komme inn på dette stedet hvor alle kjenner hverandre og alle synger sanger og det helt det rart.
That's way too difficult for her.
Det alt for vanskelig for henne.
But she would always come to her cousin because she comes there every month anyway.
Men hun kan jo alltid komme til kusinen og si hun kommer der hver måned likevel.
And if her cousin says, "Hey, I know this guy that he speaks pretty cool about Jesus."
Og hvis denne kusinen da sier, "Du, jeg kjenner en fyr, og han forteller egentlig veldig bra om Jesus."
She wouldn't feel threatened if I am weird.
Så vil ikke hun føle seg trua.
Because I am at their place.
For jeg på deres sted.
Where they are safe.
Der hvor de trygge.
And I'm the loser.
Og jeg den taperen.
And that way I would find this person of peace who actually is open, is hungry, is ripe, is ready.
Och på den måten vill jag nå detta människa som är klar, det är moden, det är öppen och det är sulten.
But I don't see her because I'm so obsessed with the people I love.
Men jag ser henne för att jag är så upptatt med föräldrarna mina.
Jesus said that he makes no exception of people.
Jesus säger att han gör inte skillnad på människor.
He loves her as much as he loves them, as much as he loves me.
Han elsker hun like mye som han elsker de som han elsker meg.
And that's why sometimes we have to abandon the people we love.
Og det derfor vi av og til må gi avkall på de som vi elsker.
For a while.
For en stund.
And focus on the ones who are ripe now.
Og for å fokusere på de som modne nå.
and God will work on their hearts.
Och Gud vill jobba med deras hjärta.
And when the ripe time, the harvest time comes, then I can come in and do finish the job.
Och på den rätta tiden, när hösten är mogen, då kan jag komma dit och så fullföra jobben.
I baptized my mother 2 years ago.
You baptized
my mother.
Jag döpte mormor för hur långt?
2 years ago.
För 2 år sedan.
It was great.
Det var fantastiskt.
And she confessed me a lot of sins.
Och bekände många synder.
About my family.
Om min familj.
That I had no idea about.
Som jag inte hade pejling på.
Heavy stuff.
Tung, allvarliga ting.
But it's great.
Men det är flott.
And you can rejoice that God is working.
Och du kan fryda dig att Gud jobbar.
But if I was nagging, she would have never done it.
Men vi säger hade drivit och mast och har aldrig gjort det.
So once you find that person of peace.
Så när du finner den fredens människa.
Stop seeking.
Så sluta leta.
Stop moving around and ham fishing.
Sluta så flytta runt och fortsätta fiska.
Focus.
Fokuser.
I told the disciples in my city, stop evangelizing for the coming year.
Jag har sagt till disciplinerna mina hemma, sluta evangelisera i ett år.
Shut up.
Var stilla.
We have too many people.
Vi har för många folk.
We need to first disciple these people.
Vi måste först disciplinera de vi har.
And once they are ready, then we evangelize again.
Och när de är klara, så kan vi evangelisera på nytt.
Because if you get 200 people more saved, what are we going to do?
För hvis vi får 200 nya frälsta, vad gör vi då?
I want to disciple them. I cannot disciple 200 people. I cannot disciple 200.
Jag kan inte disciplinera 200 på en gång.
So we stopped evangelizing.
Så vi stoppar med evangelisera.
And now we are starting again.
Och nu börjar vi igen.
Because you shouldn't move from house to house.
För du ska inte flytta från hus till hus.
If you have found that person on your list this morning, stop evangelizing, focus on that person.
Så hvis du har fått tag i den personen som du bad för till morgon idag, så fokusera på den.
And again the Lord said, eat everything set before you.
Och så säger Jesus, ta och spis det oavsett vad de sätter framför dig.
And then you heal the sick.
Och så helbreder du de sjuka.
No brother, is the Lord.
Nej, här det är inte mig, det är Gud.
I'm just an instrument.
Jag är bara ett redskap.
The Lord said you heal them.
Nej, Gud säger du ska helbreda de.
It's a commandment.
Det är en befaling.
He didn't say go beg God if he's in a good mood today that maybe he will have time to heal your brother.
Han sa inte det, alltså gå och så tryggle du Gud om att hvis han är i gott humör och på god lager den dagen kan du vara så snill och helbreda honom.
You are empowered.
Du är utrustad, du har kraft att göra.
It's your choice if you pray for those people or not.
Det är ditt val om du vill be för det eller inte.
So first have fellowship with them. Heal the sick in them.
Ha fällskap med dig, helbred de sjuka bland dig.
And then at the end, you preach the gospel.
Och till slut så förkynner du evangeliet.
Isn't that weird?
Är inte det rart?
That the Lord worked the opposite way than what we do.
Att Jesus opererade motsatt väg av det vi gör.
He said, "Don't invite them, go."
Han sa, inte invitera dem, men gå.
Go where they are more and you are less.
Gå där var de är mer och du är mindre.
Let you know, stay at their house, be dependent on them.
Stå var i huset deras, var avhängig av de.
Have fellowship with them and eat with them.
Ha fellesskap med de och spisa med de.
Heal the sick, show them the power of God.
Helbred de sjuka och vis Guds kraft.
And then preach the gospel.
Och så förkynna evangeliet.
I used the word of backwards.
I played gör det motsatt.
No, first I am going to preach the gospel.
Först att förkynna evangeliet.
And if they believe me, I will try to heal the sick.
Och visst de trodde på mig, så prövar jag att helbreda de sjuka.
And then I'm going to keep on moving, healing as many sick people as I can all over the place.
Och så prövar jag att helbreda så många kunder runt över hela området.
And I'm going to drag them to my church.
Och så prövar jag att köra dem till menigheten.
And the Lord said, do it the opposite way.
Men Gud säger, gör det motsatt.
This is His strategy.
Detta är hans strategi.
But in whatever city you enter, if they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust clinging to us of your city, we shake it off against you.
Men hvis de ikke tar imot det, så gå ut på gaten og si at selv støvet fra denne byen, det vil jeg ikke ha med meg, og så bare riste av det, og så gå videre.
That is not nice.
Det er ikke fint å gjøre.
That is not loving.
Det er ikke elskværdig.
That doesn't fit with our Santa Claus picture of Jesus.
Men det stemmer ikke overens med vårt julenisse bilde av Jesus.
What would happen? And think about this question.
Vad vill du säga? Vad tänk på detta spörsmålet?
Have you ever flown on a plane?
Har du någon gång varit i ett flyg?
It's tight, right?
Det är ganska trångt, inte sant?
And sometimes you get this great luck to be sitting next to a very fat guy.
Och av och till så är du så heldig att du får sitta vid sidan av en väldigt fet person. Det är väldigt trångt.
What if the flight attendant would come to you and she gives you a very big backpack?
Vad hvis flygvärdinnan kommer till dig och ger dig en väldigt stor ryggsäck?
And you're there, you cannot eat your food anymore. You're totally uncomfortable.
Och du kan inte spisa maten din längre. Du hade skickligt ukomfortabelt med den ryggsäcken på dig.
And all the passengers look at you and they laugh at you.
Och alla passagerare ser på dig och ler av dig.
Stupid guy.
Får en dum type.
Wearing a backpack.
har ryggsäcken på sig.
And they take pictures of you and
och de tar bilder av dig sån i smyg.
And the flight attendant says, "Sorry sir, you have to wear this from the captain."
Och flygvärdinnan kommer och säger, "Beklagar sir, du må ha den på dig och det är en besked från kaptenen."
After a while you're extremely upset.
Och efter en stund så blir du otroligt irriterad.
And you call the flight attendant.
Så ringer du på flygvärdinnan.
And you're angry, "Why do I have to wear this stupid backpack?"
Och så du säger, "Varför all världen tränger att ha på mig den dumma ryggsäcken?" Alla som en lär.
I'm something super uncomfortable.
Har du otroligt ukomfortabelt.
I want to talk to the captain right now. I want to take this thing off.
Jag vill snacka med kaptenen med en gång. Jag vill ta av mig detta här.
And then she clinches to you.
Så lämnar sig bort till dig.
Says, "Sir,
mister,
we have a problem."
Vi har ett problem.
"We don't have enough fuel."
Vi har inte nog bensin.
"In 10 minutes we're going to crash in the middle of the ocean."
Om 10 minuter så kommer vi att krascha mitt i över havet.
"And this is the only parachute."
Och detta är den enda fallskärmen.
"So we made a raffle. You are the winner."
Så vi tog ett lotteri här och du är vinnaren.
"All of a sudden you will be so happy that you have that backpack."
Plötsligt så du är så tacknämlig för att du har den ryggsäcken.
"And you will want to know everything of how do this work? Where do I have to pull? How can I jump?"
Och du blir plötsligt väldigt upptagen av hur världen virkar den här. Hur världen ska jag hoppa?
"Because your understanding changed."
För du din förståelse har ändrat sig.
"And what was for you a burden becomes a blessing."
Och det som var en byrde för dig, det är ett problem för dig, det är plötsligt blivit en välsignelse.
"The lost need to know they are lost."
De fortapte trenger å vite at de er fortapt.
"They need to be warned."
De trenger å bli advart.
"Why should I go to your church? Why should I be like you?"
Hvorfor skal jeg gå til deres kirke? Hvorfor skal jeg bli som deg?
"They need to know they are in a gigantic problem. Jesus is coming back, and if they are not ready, he will destroy them."
De trenger å vite at de har et kjempeproblem. Jesus kommer tilbake, og hvis ikke de har tatt imot ham, så kommer han til å ødelegge dem.
"That's why the disciples were willing to give their life."
Derfor var disiplene villige til å gi sitt liv.
"They were a bunch of cowards, but when they saw Jesus resurrected, they thought this is the Messiah."
De var en gäng med feiginger, men när de såg att Jesus hade uppstått från de döda så blev de modiga.
"When he was caught, everybody fled."
När han blev arresterad så försvann de allesammen.
"When he resurrected, they faced the people that crucified Jesus."
När han blev rest upp från de döda så konfronterade de som korsfäste
honom. "And they said, 'You killed him, but God exalted him.'"
Dere korsfäste ham, men Gud har upprest ham.
"And they were such a brave bunch of soldiers."
Och de var så modiga som djävla soldater.
"So you can choose to build an oak tree."
Så du kan välja om du ska bygga ett svärt eiketrä.
"That is big and beautiful."
Som är svärt och flott.
"But it stays in one place."
Men det står på ett ställe.
"Or to be like wild grass."
Eller om du vill vara som en villgräs.
"It has no glory."
Det har ingen ära.
"No hierarchy."
Ikke noe hierarki.
"It doesn't look attractive."
Det ser heller ikke attraktivt ut.
"But it changes the earth."
Men det forandrer jorda.
"Change someone's life."
Hvis du forandrer noens liv,
"You cannot change the world."
Du kan ikke forandre verden.
"But you can change someone's world."
Men du kan forandre noens verden.
"And send them."
Og sende de.
"And they will send others."
Og de vil sende andre.
"That will send others."
Som vil sende andre.
"And sooner than what you expect, Arendal will be a different city."
Og før du egentlig hadde forventet det, så vil Arendal være en ny by.
"Now the choice is yours."
Valget er ditt.
"You want to work with your model?"
Vill du jobba på din måte?
"You want to follow your culture?"
Vill du följa kulturen din?
"Or you want to follow the way Jesus said we should live?"
Eller vill du följa den måten Jesus sa att vi skulle leva?
"Live as the Bible says and you will see what you see in the Bible."
Hvis du lever sånn som Bibelen sier, så kommer du til å se hva Bibelen forteller.
"So yeah, I have more to say, but I think I stop here. I spoke 1 hour already."
Jeg har mye å si, men jeg tror jeg stopper her. Jeg har snakket en time allerede.
"So please guys, I would love to come back in 2 years and see that at least 10 of you have made 1 disciple.
Jeg har lyst til å komme tilbake om et par år og se at i hvert fall 10 av dere har fått en disippel, minst.
And you have Lars, you have me, you just find the answers, learn how to do it, and please go do it."
Du har Lars, du har meg, og du finn svaret og finn ut hvordan du skal gjøre det, og så gå og gjøre det.
"Things are not going to happen if you don't make them happen."
Ting kommer ikke til å skje hvis ikke du får det til å skje.
God bless you guys, thank you very
much. Gud velsigne dere alle. Takk skal du ha.